Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur. Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the top of Daf Kuf Chof Vov Omid Aleph. Before we begin the Gemara text itself, let us glance at our topic heading that appears in the outside margin under the title No Say. We've written in Lior HaHalocha She'ein B'Bechor Pishnayim B'Shevach Shehishbichu Yisoymim La'achar Mises Avihem. In light of the halacha that a Bechor does not have a double portion in the improvements that the other brothers made after their father's death in the property. Mihu, im micha habechor. If, however, the Bechor, the firstborn, protested and said to them, said to his other brothers, al tashbichu anechosim, I don't want you making any improvements in the property. Vehem holchu vishbichu. And they went along anyway and made improvements. Yesh loy pishnai me'oisoy shevach. He does get a double portion in that increase value. Bitnai shaloi shinu es hadovor shishbichu. Provided that the improvement is not a structural, inherent type improvement that changes the identity of the item. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Asi, Bechor Shemicha, Micha. As we mentioned in our introduction, a Bechor that protests, that says he wants his portion before they make improvements, and they didn't listen to him, and they went ahead and made the improvements, the Bechor will get, the firstborn will get, a double portion in those improvements as well. As we glance ahead in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form indicating, of course, a series. Let us glance at the side under the Mivneh, the structural note. The triangle is featured. Deois, Mosai, Amrinon. These are different opinions. When do we say the Yesh lebechor shemicha pishnai b'shevach sheshibchu hayisoymim? When is it that the Bechor gets that double portion in those improvements? So we see Omar Rabo, Mistaber, Taimei de Rav Asi, Be'anovim u'botzrum, Zeisim u'moskum, Avol dorchum loy. That the Bechor will get Pishnaim after he protested, and they didn't listen. That's true in a case when you were dealing with grapes, and they went ahead and harvested them. In other words, the action of harvesting constitutes the improvement. The grapes remain grapes. They're simply detached. And likewise with the zeisim, with the olives, the verb for harvesting them is called, is moskum, mosak. Moskum is to harvest olives. However, aval dorchum lo, if however they pressed these fruits and thereby extracted the wine content or the olive oil content, that is not something the Bechor would get a double portion in. The Rashbam, in the wide lines, he says, aval dorchum al menas liskois hein b'shevach hadricha. In order for them, they trampled them or they pressed them in order to enjoy the profits of pressed fruits. Lo shalki b'chor pishnayim kinesnan. The b'chor will not get pishnayim in that, as is based on the Mishnah in Bava Kama. Hagezel eitzim v'ason kelim mishaleim kish'as hagzela. that if a thief stole wood and he fashioned the wood into vessels, the thief pays according to the wood value. Dekanya b'shinui. The thief in that particular case acquires the benefit through the significant change that he rendered. Hochinami kaninu yasmi lahani anovim b'shinui. Kach nira b'enai, says the Rashbam. So too over here, the Yisoimim, the other heirs, acquired this increased value in the grapes through this significant change, namely the pressing. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Yosef Omar, afilu dorchum. Rav Yosef comments something that's hard to understand, but he says, even if they pressed it. We're going to see later in the Gemara, after we go through a few more lines, that Rav Yosef is not coming to disagree. The Gemara asks, dorchum, in wonderment, is it so that if they pressed the fruits and extracted the juices, the bechor will get pishnayim meikor invi hashtochamra. It started off as grapes and now it's wine, and they acquire the improvement through the shinui, through the drastic change that they affected. What is Rav Yosef trying to say? So the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chamo, as he said elsewhere, the following teaching, Litein Loi Demei Hezek Anovov. We will explain that momentarily. Hochinami, so too will apply Rav Ukva's teaching to what Rav Yosef is trying to say. Hochinami Noisein Loi Demei Hezek Anovov. What does this mean, Demei Hezek Anovov? Well, the Rashbam explains that. If you glance down into the wide lines, you'll notice an asterisk there, and it will continue from there in the Rashbam. Elohocha b'mayaskinon shepiches hayayin v'nishpach v'niskalkel. In other words, the fellow brothers went ahead and processed the grapes under protest, made a beverage from it, they extracted the juices, and then the wine spilled out or went bad. She'ein shove kidmei anovim. It's no longer worth the value of the original grapes. The osar of Yosef lemeimar de'afilu dorchum upichasu. Rav Yosef is coming to tell us that even if they pressed them and then there was value reduction, b'chor noto pishnayim ba'novim b'tzurim, k'domim shoyushovim ha'novim. The b'chor will be entitled to a double portion in the harvested grapes as they had been worth. The kema demicha bohen, since he originally protested that I don't want you to, he said to them, I don't want you to create shevach, to create improvement. Lo havaluhu lidro ha'novim shaloi. They shouldn't have pressed his, the Bechor's, grapes. And as a result of that, they, the other brothers, are expected to pay the Bechor for the value of the grapes. As we pointed out before, the triangled names, Rabo and Rav Yosef, each one said his own halacha v'lo pligi, and there is no argument whatsoever. Rabo, Airi, the Ein Noitel B'Shevach Hayayin. Rabbah was saying that in the event nothing spills out, the Bechor does not get double portion in the wine. For Yosef, also Lameimar, the Hochinami Lo Shokil B'Pchisas Hayayin Midmei Anovim. Rav Yosef is dealing with a different issue, namely if there's reduction in value from the point of wine with respect to its original grape value, the Bechor doesn't have to absorb that loss. The Gemara continues. Hecho Itmar Derav Ukva Bar Chama. We borrowed his name or his halacha a moment before in order to explain Rav Yosef. Here the Gemara is asking, where did he say his halacha originally? The Gemara answers, and notice we're now going to be learning a long answer, as is indicated by the encircled tuf in the space between the Gemara text and the Tosfos, and the vertical line that accompanies it. The Gemara answers, Aho di Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Ukva's teaching was stated upon Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's halacha. What's his halacha? B'chor u'poshut shiniach l'navim anovim u'botzrum. A firstborn and a fellow brother, poshut, who inherited grapes. The b'chor protested, I don't want you to process them. I don't want you to make any improvements. And the poshut went ahead and harvested them. Zeisim u'motzrum, they inherited olives on trees, and the brother went ahead and harvested them. B'chor noto pishnayim afilu dorchum. That would be the end of the quote of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And as we saw before, it seems to be saying that the b'chor gets pishnayim even if the poshut, the other brother or brothers, not only harvested them, but even converted them into wine or olive oil. So on that we ask, Dorchum, with wonderment, is that possible? Meikara invi hashtoch amra. Originally, when the material was inherited, it was inherited as grapes. Now it's wine. It's a completely new item. And as a result of that, the Bechor shouldn't get pishnayim in the wine. Omar mar ukva barchamo, litein loi demei hezek anovov. The intention of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel by adding afilu dorchum was to convey the idea we mentioned before, that if there's any reduction in value after they were pressed and converted into wine, the Bechor does not have to absorb that loss, and he gets a double portion, pishnayim, in the value as they had been as harvested grapes. We now turn to a new topic. Let us glance at the outside margin, the nosei. Bechor shenotal chelik keposhut bilvad. Imagine a bechor took as his portion in the estate a portion equal to the other brothers. In other words, he did not take a double portion. Viter. He thereby foregoes al chelik bechor shelo. He is thereby foregoing the extra portion. We're going to see shnei deos berava, the two opinions within Rava. One, number one, Rav Papa, and number two will be Rav Papi. Rav Papa says that when we speak about the Bechor being mevater, foregoing his double portion, we're going to speak about his foregoing a double portion only in that particular field that he just received. That's ba'oisa sada bilvad. In other words, his accepting a limited portion in one field does not reflect on the rest of the estate. And if there are other fields that are still to be divided, according to Rav Papa within Rava, the Bechor will be able to get a double portion. Rav Papi, on the other hand, says, Viter Bechol Hanechosim. Upon receiving one field and saying and accepting a regular portion as opposed to a double portion, that forms a, we'll call it a statement, so to speak, or a legally binding foregoing on the rest of the estate. The Gemara will then delve into the reasons behind each one of these opinions. What we'll do is we'll first read the opinions and then deal with the reasons afterwards. The Gemara opens up, Omar Rav Asi, Bechor Shenot HaChelek Keposhut, a Bechor who took in one of the fields. One of the fields was divided out, and in that field that was divided out now, the Bechor took a simple portion, a portion similar to the rest of the brothers, Viter. the Gemara will ask immediately, my viter, what is he being mevater on? What is he foregoing? Before we go on, let's glance at the Rashbam. Dibur HaMaschil, Bechor, Shenotal, Chelek, Be'achas, Min HaSodos. The Rashbam tells us he took a chelek in one of the fields, ke'echod me'echov, chelek pshitus. He took, like one of the other brothers, a singular portion. The Gemara just asked, what do you mean he forego? What is he foregoing? Rav Popo, Mishmei de Rava. Notice we've circled Rav Popo and called him Aleph. Underneath you've got a circled Rav Popi, and each one of them are explaining Ravo. Then we've squiggle underline Mishmei de Rava in each case. So Rav Popo Mishmei de Rava Amar Viter Be'oiso Sode. Rav, that means he's foregoing his extra portion in that field alone. Rav Popi Mishmei de Rava Omar Viter Bechol HaNechosim Kulon. That his taking a singular portion in one field is in effect a foregoing of a double portion in all of the rest of the estate. And now the Gemara will explain each opinion. So here we go again. Notice Aleph, this corresponds to the Aleph before, Rav Popa. We've underlined him here, and a few lines later we'll have Rav Popi's position explained. We've also used diamonds to highlight the expression kosovar, and on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading we see kosovar with the diamond next to it, hezberim shel shnei deyos hanal, the explanation of the two opinions that were featured earlier in the notes under the Nosei heading. Haim chelek habechora nechshav sheloi koidem chaluka. Are we to view the extra portion that a Bechor receives as his, as owned by the Bechor, even before the actual distribution of property? Ma hamashmos shel hakro lo seislo. We're going to have to explain what is the intention of the pasuk that uses the expression lo seislo pi shnayim. What does that mean, lo seislo? Let us continue in the Gemara. Rav Popo mishmei de Rava omar viter ba'oisa sode. We've dashed underlined the expression ba'oisa sode. That's the heart of his shita, that he is, by taking a singular portion in a particular field, foregoing on the double portion only in that field. Kosavar, Rav Popo is of the opinion, Ein loy lebechor koidem chaluka. Uma de osa liodei ochil. Idoch lo ochil. The bechor is said to not have a portion or possession of the property until it gets to his hands. So that which got to his hands, that particular field that they currently divided, we can say that he has ochil loshen mechilos, is forgiven, namely foregoing his extra portion. However, idoch, the rest of the estate that hasn't been divided out yet, even though we're talking about the chelik bechora, he doesn't have possession of it yet, and hence he's not able to be moichel. You can't be moichel on something you haven't taken possession of. Rav Popi mishmei de Rava Omar viter bechol hanechosim kulan. He's of the opinion that the foregoing that the Bechor is exhibiting now is a foregoing of all of the properties. Even though, technically speaking, he's taken possession or has participated in the division of one field, and there are many other fields yet to be divided, that doesn't matter. Kosovar, Rav Popi is of the opinion, Yesh loy lebechor koidem chaluka, that the Bechor is said to have ownership of property even before the division. And by his foregoing in one, he is foregoing in all of the rest. Let us glance down in the Rashbam. Yesh loy lebechor koidem chaluka, skipping the bracketed phrase, dehoksiv losseis. The Torah uses that word, mishas shemesoav u roi litelo. From the point the father dies, it is fitting for him to receive. We'll read the Rashbam again with the bracketed phrase. We said, Yesh lo lebechor koidem chaluka, v'yafagav dechelik poshut ein lo, even though the principal portion, the basic portion, he does not have. Nevertheless, the bechora, he does. The haksiv, because with regard to the bechora, the Torah uses the word loses. And as we said before, mish'as, shemes, ho'av, hu, roi, litein lo. From the point the father died, he, the bechor, was fitting to receive. Hilkoch bebechor, talya milsa. Therefore, it is dependent. Whenever he wants, he could be zoche in his chelik. He could receive his chelik. As we said before, that a bechor who protests, his protest is binding. Just like we said, he can protest before actions take place. He can also forego before division takes place. We are talking about properties that exist. We're not talking about things that haven't come to be yet. The things that we know, popularly known as Dover Shelo Bali Olam. Vanan Sadi, and we bear witness to Chihechi, the Ochil Baha Sode, just like he is foregoing his extra portion in this field, Ochil Bekulu. He is foregoing his extra portion in all the rest of the fields. Vekeva the Yesh Koach Biodo Liskois, Yesh Koach Nami Biodo Litain Velim Choil, Vehavio Mechila. And just like he has strength to be Zocha'in, to be considered a receiver of, he also has the strength and the ability to forego. Let's turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara points out what will appear to us as a long point. We're calling this a Nekuda Aruka, as is illustrated by the Nun in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, with a vertical dashed line going till the second line from the top of Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the Machloikis Rav Popa and Rav Popi within Rava is not something that was stated explicitly, but something that became known through an incident that took place. V'ho de Rav Popi v'Rav Popo, lav beferush itmar, elo michlola itmar. It was not stated explicitly by Rava, but rather was derived from an incident. Tahu b'chor, de ozil zoven nichsi didei uda poshut. There was a b'chor that went ahead and sold off his properties and the properties of his brother as well. He sold everything. This pshat that we're giving is emphasized in the Rashbam, and in his commentary he denies or discounts another pshat that one might have offered in the Gemara. So let's say it again, the pshat that the Rashbam learns. This Bechor went ahead and sold off all of the anticipated property, all of the family property. He did this without the approval of the other brothers. Ozul Yasmi Bnei Poshut Lemechal Tamri Mehano Lekuchos. The heirs of his brothers, of his non-Bechor brothers, his Poshut brothers, their children, in other words, this Bechor's nephews, if you will, went ahead and ate dates from the trees that were in the possession of the purchasers. Mochunu, the purchasers beat them. Amri lehu kroivim, other relatives of these heirs, orphans of these yisoimim, came along and said to the purchasers. It says, lo mistaya dizavantinu linichsayu. Not only it's bad enough, so to speak. Not only did you buy these nechasim unlawfully, elo mimcha nami mochisulu, but you're also beating them. The Rashbam at the bottom, dizavantinu linichsayu shalomi daitom. You purchasers bought these properties without the knowledge of the brothers of the heirs, v'shelo midas avuhon, without the knowledge not only of the orphans but without the knowledge of their fathers who were the heirs to these properties. The havarai chelek poshut achiv lo hoyo yochol limkor. The guy who sold it to you, namely that bechor, he couldn't sell to you that which wasn't his in the first place. So not only did you buy this unlawfully, but you're also beating these yisoimim. Asu lekame de Rava. The case came to Rava. Rava being the central name in our sugya. Let us not forget, as you look back, we can use the markings to see that Rav Papa and Rav Papi were both quoting Rava. So the case came to Rava. Omar lehu lo asa v'lo klum. The Bechor in his sale did nothing. In other words, it was a non-sale. Well, what does it mean it's a non-sale? Let's not forget, the Bechor sold off all of the property. Part of the sale was property that he was supposed to get as well. So the Gemara goes on at the top of Omid Beis, Mor Savar lo oso klum bepalga. Rav Popi is of the opinion that he did not do anything, meaning his sale was a non-sale, bepalga, in part. We'll explain this momentarily. Mor Savar, Rav Papa held bekulhu, that his sale of the property, and of course we're talking about sale that took place before division. Rav Papa is of the opinion the Bechor did not sell, his sale was a non-sale in everything, including the Chelek Bechora. This is Rav Papa Lishita, so this is Rav Papa consistent with what he said before, that until he takes possession of something, he doesn't have a holding in it. And hence, since this sale took place by the Bechor before the estate was divided, he didn't have a holding on anything. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Lo os on the top, lo oso klum bepalga. This explains first the Rav Popi Shita. His sale was a non-sale, b'chelik shituso. It's a non-sale with regard to the basic portion the Bechor was supposed to get. When we say basic portion, a Bechor gets a double portion, and it's made up of a basic portion plus an extra portion. So he is telling us, Rav Popi says, that the sale is a non-sale with regard to his basic portion, and certainly the portion of his brother, which he had no right to sell. Avol! Bechelek Bechore, as far as the extra portion that a Bechor is entitled to, Yofe Mochar. His sale was legitimate regarding that portion. The Yeshlo, the Bechor, Kodim Chalukah, because the Bechor does have rights over the estate with regard to the Bechor portion. He has rights even before the estate is divided out. The next Rashbam, Bekulhu, is explaining Rav Papa's approach. Afilu b'chelek b'chora. The sale is totally void, even in the chelek b'chora. Of course, as we saw before, Rav Popa holds that before division, the Bechor has no access, has no rights over any of the property. Sholchu mitam. Bechor shemochar koidem chaluka loy osa klum. A Bechor who sells before the estate is divided, it's a non-sale. Almo ein lo lebechor koidem chaluka. We've used a double underline here to set up a connection between the Sholchu Mitam approach and the next approach, the Gemara's psak, the Gemara's legal rendition. We see this is noted on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. Ein lo and Yesh lo have a double underline. Lebechor koidem chaluka. Does he have or does he not have before division? So we just saw the Sholchu Mitam under the Aleph heading. Now Beis v'Hilchasa Yesh lebechor koidem chaluka. Marzutra midarishba. Marzutra was a bechor. He comes from the town Rishba. Polag bitsona de pilpali bahadi achin b'shaveh. He divided a basket of pepper with his brothers equally. Namely, even though he was a bechor, he did not take a double portion in this. Also the kamei de Ravashi. The case came to Ravashi, Omar Lei, and Ravashi ruled, Hoyol vitarta b'miktsas, vitarta b'chol ha'nechosim kulon. Since you demonstrated your intention of not receiving a double portion in this basket of pilpili, you're in effect announcing to us your foregoing on a double portion in all of the property. With that, we have seen, we've concluded a sugya dealing with a general question of what are the rights to a bechor in an estate before division of the estate. With regard to the basic portion, what's called the chelek poshut, everyone agrees that the brothers don't have control over the chelek poshut. What we saw was that there is machlokas concerning how much control does the bechor have with regard to the extra portion known as the chelek bechora before division takes place. We now turn to the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading. Hamishane Chalukas Nechosov Bein Bonov Miyerusha Regila. A father is redistributing his property in a fashion that is different from standard inheritance. Im Omar Aleph Beloshon Yerusha Ein Devorov Kayomim. If he changes the distribution of his property using a Yerusha term, the word Yerusha, inheritance, then his instructions are void. However, Beloshon Matana Devorov Kayomim. If he uses an expression of gift, Matana, then he has a right to redistribute and it will be binding. As you can see, then it's all a matter of language. The Mishnah says, Ha'oimer, Ish ploini bini bechor lo yito pishnayim. Person says, my son. He mentions a particular son who happens to be a bechor, and he says, I don't want him to get the double portion. Or, another case, Ish ploni bini lo yirash im echov. He points out one of his sons, and he says, I don't want him to inherit. He uses the Loshon Yerusha, I don't want him to inherit. with the rest of his brothers, lo omar klum. His instructions are void. Shehisno ama shekosuf b'tora. He is making conditions contrary to the Torah's ruling. In other words, a person who dies leaving sons, the Torah expects all the sons to receive equal portions. Of course, if there's a firstborn, so he receives a double portion. And that is known as Parshas Yerusha. A person has no right to come along and use the expression Yerusha, and through the use of the word Yerusha, change what the Torah intends to take place. Hamechalek nechosov levonov al piv. Person is dividing his estate orally. We're talking here about someone who is deathly ill. He's mitzave machmas misa. He's issuing instructions because of his anticipation of death. Riba le'echad u'miyet le'echad. If he gave more to one, gave less to another. V'hishva lohen es ha'bechor. And he gave the Bechor an equal portion as to any of his other sons. Dvorov kayomim. His instructions are binding, provided he used a Lashon Matona. Vim Omar Mishum Yerusha. If he used the expression Yerusha in this redistribution of property, Lo Omar Klum, then his instructions are not binding. If a person is issuing a written will, and he's redistributing the funds other than the style the Torah expects, namely an uneven distribution, then the Mishnah says, Kosav, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'sof, mishum matana. If in his document, that his will, he is redistributing the funds, the properties, and the term matana appears, whether it be at the beginning of the document, in the middle, or at the end, even though in the rest of the document he is using the Lashon Yerusha, Dvarav Kayomen, his instructions will stand. From the Mishnah it seems, therefore, that if the term Matana appears somewhere in his instructions, it serves to justify his redistribution of the funds, even though the term Yerusha is also used. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. V'mishnoseinu muva di'ein abo yochol loymar b'ni b'chori lo yitol pishnayim. In our Mishnah, it was stated that a father cannot say, I want my son, the Bechor, to receive a simple portion alone, namely, I don't want him to receive the extra Bechor portion. Lema deloi k'Rav Yehuda. Let us suggest that this halacha is not in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Omar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afalpi de'ein odo masna masha kosov b'tora, that even though a person cannot make stipulations against the Torah's expectations, mikomoko b'dover shebimomon t'no kayam. Even so, if a person is making stipulations that concern monetary matters, even though his stipulations run counter to the Torah's expectations, since it's within the realm of monetary concern, those changed stipulations will be binding. Our Mishnah was dealing with a monetary issue, namely distribution of estate, and even so, even though it was monetary, the Tanai that the gentleman tried to make is not binding. Now, let's see this in the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a long question. The question lasts several lines. You can see the long question is illustrated by the shin that's encircled, the she'ilah, with a vertical dash line extending several lines. All of this is part of question material. Lemo masnisa delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Let us suggest that our Mishnah that said that a person cannot make a tanai, even b'davar shebemamon, even in a monetary case, is not like Rabbi Yehuda. De'i Rabbi Yehuda ha'omar, if it were to be like Rabbi Yehuda, but he's already said b'davar shel momoin tanal kayam, that a stipulation that an individual makes in a monetary realm, even though it runs counter to the Torah's expectation, his stipulation will last, will be binding. Desanya, as is now illustrated in the following Tanaic source, namely the source for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, appears in the following. Ha'oimer le'isha, hareat mekudeshes li, person offers marriage to a woman, and he says, you are to be married unto me, almenas she'ein lech olai she'er ksus v'oino, on condition that you don't have any claims of she'er ksus and ona. We're going to offer one translation here, even though the Gemara in Ksubas deals with these expressions and there are different opinions in how to explain them, but we're going to adopt the common translation. He says to her, I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have any claims of she'er, of food, ksus, clothing, ona, marital relations. Hare zu mekudeshes, utano botel, divrei Rabbi Meir. The marriage is binding, and the conditions that he stipulated are void. And that is based on the principle, ein oda masne al mashe kosov b'torah, that a person has no right to issue conditions counter to the Torah. The Torah, as it envisions the marriage institution, a husband is expected to provide these three things to his wife, she'er, ksus, and oina. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bedavar shel momon kno kayom. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with regard to the she'er and ksus, namely, in the issue of, or concerning the condition of this man, that he will marry her on condition that she has no claims of food and clothing, that condition is binding. As we just said, we'll read it again, b'dover shel mamon tano kayom. Our Mishnah also dealt with dover shel mamon, and we saw that his condition is not binding. He tried to, in our Mishnah, we saw someone try to equalize the Bechor with the rest of the brothers using a Lashon Yerusha. It didn't work. So it seems that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the question. The Gemara says back, no, I'm not going to say, like you suggested, that we should say the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. We can establish our Mishnah to be like Rabbi Yehuda as well. Hasam, in the case of marriage, yada v'komochala, the woman knew what she was giving up on, namely the share of Iksus, and she gave up on it. She was mochelis on it in exchange for the hanoa of being married. It was worth it to her to enter marriage with this man, and in exchange for the hanoa that she got for being married, she made an exchange and gave up on the share of Iksus. Hacha, in our Mishnah, lo ka mochil, the Bechor, who was giving up on his portion, the extra portion, what hanoa was he getting that would be grounds for him to forego. Hence, the case of the Mishnah is not parallel to the case of the woman getting married. So that even though in the case of the woman getting married, there Rabbi Yehuda says the davar shebamamon, the tanai is kayam, because she made an exchange. She gave up on the share of Iksus in order to be married. However, in our Mishnah, where the father is cutting out one of the children from the Arusha, or he's cutting out the extra portion of the Bechor, what is he getting in return? What is the child getting in return? Notice we have a slash mark that indicates that the ensuing Gemara, that which follows the slash mark, constitutes a new idea. Before we continue with the Gemara text itself, let us glance to the outside margin. We notice a heading called Noisei Klali. This means it's a general topic that will last till Kuf Chav Ches Amid Beis, a topic, an idea that will be reappearing in the next couple dapim. Ne'monus Abo Al Benoi. The believability that a father has concerning his son, Kagon Ha'omer Ze Bni Bechori, where a father announces, he tells us, this is my firstborn. Omar of Yosef, our Gemara continues. Omar, a person said, Ish ploini bini b'chori hu. A man says, this guy you see over here, he is my firstborn. No tail, pishnayim. He will be entitled to receive a double portion. Another case. Ish ploini b'chor hu. He didn't say b'chori. He said, this fellow is a firstborn. Eino notel pishnayim. He doesn't get a double portion. Why not? Dilmo buchro di'imo ko'omar. It could be that he is in fact a firstborn to his mother, but not a firstborn to the man who's speaking. He had another wife who produced children for him already, possibly. We have a new geometric form. As you're well aware, geometric forms constitute a series or an attempt to connect different points one with the other. Let's glance in the outside margin, the Mivneh. We see the volcano shape. Shnei Maisim, the Umru, there are two incidents where you have where they say, Muchsakani Boze Shuhu Bechor, where a speaker says, I am of the opinion, or more than opinion, Muchsakani, I know, I have the knowledge that so-and-so is a Bechor, a firstborn. So we see one case here, and on the first wide line, we see another. Hahu de'asa l'kamei de'rabo bar chano. Omar le, muchsakani bozeshu b'chor. This fellow comes to Rabbi Chana and says, I know that this guy is a firstborn. Omar le mino yadis. So Rabbi asks him, from where do you know that? Answer, de'ave kori le avua. I heard his father calling him buchro sichla. First, we'll offer a literal translation, but don't be alarmed. We will explain it a little bit later. I heard his father calling him Bukhra Sikhla, meaning Bukhor Shoite. Shoite often translated as fool, but I wouldn't recommend sticking to that translation. So the Rav asks back, Rabba asks back, Dilma Bukhra Di'ima, who? Maybe he is a firstborn to his mother only, but he's not a bechor that would be entitled to a double portion, the chol buchra di imonami buchra sichla korule. All firstborns to their mothers are referred to by this term, buchra sichla. Let us just review a basic point of knowledge, not to rely on assumptions any longer. When we talk about firstborns and double portions, those are only firstborns of father. Firstborns of mother and not to the father, namely a man who married several women and his second wife, let us say, had her firstborn, that child is not entitled to a double portion. What we're seeing here is that, true, the father referred to him as Buchra Sichla, but that doesn't indicate he is a firstborn of the father. The term Sichla, we said before, was Shoite. There are other places in Shas that the term Shoite comes up, and it doesn't refer to the conventional fool that people might associate with municipal park benches and flasks of alcoholic beverage inside pockets. But rather, the term Shoite comes up, for example, in Maseches Sukkah, in describing the myrtle branch, the Hadas branch for the Arbas Minim, for the mitzvahs that are related to Sukkot. And there's an expression there called Hadas Shoite. It simply means it's a Hadas plant, but it's not kosher for the mitzvah. Similarly here, the term Shoite is, this is a Bechor, but it's not an official Bechor. He's not the Bechor that's entitled to a double portion. He's his mother's firstborn. Continuing in the Gemara. Hahud asa l'kamei de Rabbi Chanina. Case, a man came in front of Rabbi Chanina. Omar le, muchzakani bozeshu Bechor. I know that he's a Bechor. Omar le, menoyadis. So Rabbi Chanina asked, how do you know? Omar le, dechi havu osu l'gabi avua. When people with eye aches would come to this fellow's father, Omar Lehu, the father would say, Zilu Legabi Shikhas Bri de Buchrahu Umasi Ruke. Go to my son Shikhas, that's his name. He is a Bechor, and his saliva is beneficial for ameliorating eye aches. So the Rav asks, V'dilma buchra di'imahu. True, the term buchor appeared or was heard by the father, but maybe it's a firstborn of his mother. So the Gemara responds, that's not the case over here. Gemiri, buchra di'abo masi ruke. Buchra di'ima lo masi roke. A firstborn of a father produces saliva that's beneficial, that's of a masi, healing nature. A firstborn of a mother doesn't produce that quality saliva. Therefore, if the father was recommending, go to my son for some of his saliva for your eye ache, you can rest assured he was a firstborn of the father. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.